Today, for our Bible study, I would encourage you to turn to the book of Hosea, and find chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 13. Hosea chapter 2, verse 13. And we read here, "She went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her." Now, in the book of Hosea, we have a marvelous love story of Hosea, whose name means Savior, and his rebellious wife named Gomer. Her name means failure. God told Hosea to go marry this woman. She was a harlot, and provide for her. Hosea, God's faithful prophet, did as he was instructed. Gomer, his wife, began to walk after the sinful ways of her heritage, leaving Hosea for others. Soon her wicked ways overcame her, and she was reduced to poverty and shame and was sold on a common slave auction as a slave. When Gomer began to seek after her lovers and forgot the goodness of Hosea, God instructed his prophet to love her, allure her, and bring her, and speak comfortably to her. Now, one naturally would have thought to divorce her, condemn her, and find another woman, find another wife. Hosea, faithful to his covenant with her, found her, bought her. He found her on the auction block, dirty and poor and naked and starving. He found her and he bought her and received her back into his home. Now, all of this story, and it's a marvelous love story of Hosea and Gomer, all of this is a glorious picture of God's saving, redeeming, sovereign grace to guilty sinners. Now, I want to point out this morning to you from this love story of grace, it's a story of Christ and his church, Christ and his bride. Now, I want to point out five things to you here in this message. The first thing is the marvel of sovereign grace. One naturally would conclude when it was said, "She forgot me." Therefore, naturally, we would have thought, "Well, I'll abandon her. I'll divorce her. I'll forget her." God's thoughts and ways of mercy are infinitely above ours. We read in Ephesians 2, "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead and in sin." That's the marvel of sovereign grace. God commends his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding all we are, all we have done against God, we've sinned against God, God says, "I will have mercy." Therefore, his reasons for such mercy are all found within himself. And the only reason for grace is grace itself. Grace and mercy and found salvation to the guilty is found in the reason of grace, and the reason of mercy is found in God himself, not found in us. We can easily see 10,000 reasons piled up against us to condemn us. The wages of sin is death. But the only reason of grace, the only reason of forgiveness and pardon, is all piled up in Christ. God saves us and loves us and forgives us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now consider this. Talking about the marvel of sovereign grace, God even takes the reasons against us, our sin, and turns it into reasons for us. God delights to show mercy to sinners. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Christ gave himself for our sins, we read in Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. Christ never gave himself for our righteousness, we don't have any, but for our sins. Our sins, which is the reason for judgment, is by divine grace turned into an argument for mercy. You see the marvel of God's sovereign grace. We're not deserving of grace. were deserving of judgment, but God is pleased to find mercy, and the reason for mercy is in Himself. He delights to show mercy. Secondly, we see the power of grace. He says, I will allure her. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter, notice how many times this is used here where God says, I will bring her. I will betroth her. I will call her. Our shalls and wills are impotent, and a lot of times they're impractical. But God's shalls and wills are omnipotent. When God says, I shall, it shall be done. When God says, I will, mark it down, my friend. He never speaks in vain. It will happen. Surely, as God has spoken, it shall be accomplished. He said, I purposed it, I will do it. I've spoken it, and it shall come to pass. And this is covenant language. I will, and they shall. Now, if you would look in Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, you'll see what I'm talking about here. And this is the language of grace. This is the power of God's word, His truth, His covenant language. I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. I will, and they shall, says God. That's the power of God's grace. It's not impotent. It's powerful and almighty. Thirdly, we see the allurement of grace, or the persuasion of grace. He says, I will allure her. Now, this is the same word that's used in other places and translated entice or persuade. God will use loving words and a winning language, the gospel of grace in Christ, to draw us to Himself. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. He has chosen a people, and He will cause us by His grace to draw nigh unto Him. We read in Jeremiah, God said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness will I draw them. And that's a very powerful word. I will bring them. You see, the allurement of grace. Again, we read, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. We're drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ by the loveliness of His person. He's altogether lovely. We're drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ by the beauty of His work. He redeemed sinners from their sin. We have pardon in Christ. We're drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ by His love for us. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. So there we see the allurement of grace, the marvel of grace, the power of grace. Now, fourthly, we see the work of grace. We read here in the text, I will bring her into the wilderness alone with God. Think of it. Separated and made to differ by God's electing grace. And that's who has made us to differ. God hath loved a people and chosen a people from all eternity, gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for them, and they shall be saved. Called and allured with the gospel, brought out of bondage into the wilderness of grace, into the place of grace, and taken care of by God through the provision of the multitude of mercy in Christ Jesus. And we see this illustrated. Those 40 years that Israel wandered in the wilderness, God guarded them, fed them, led them. In the wilderness, they had nothing but God, dependent upon God, and complete in Christ. That's the belief. That's the life of the believer, depend upon God. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. He's able. We're dependent upon God. Complete in Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Christ. God blesses us according to the abundance of His mercy in Christ Jesus. That's the work of grace. God has done a work for us at Calvary, and He does a work in us by regenerating grace. Fifthly, we see the comfort of grace. Speak to her with the comfort of grace. The gospel language is not distressing to the believer, but rather most comforting and encouraging and enlightening, speaking to us about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message of salvation. That's the message we have in Christ Jesus. He's the only advocate for sinners. John said, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's a comfort of grace, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we have no righteousness of our own, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is made unto us all that we need. He is our righteousness. He's called in Scripture the Lord, our righteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the comfort of grace. That's the language of grace. Speak unto her with the gospel of God's saving grace. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the only mediator with a suitable sacrifice, with a suitable righteousness. That sacrifice he gave is his own blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus, as our high priest, substitute, surety, and mediator, did not bring the typical animal sacrifice. He brought his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us by his own sacrifice. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. We have a surety. We have a high priest. All things provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the language of grace, and this is the comfort of grace. Our salvation is always determined, dependent, and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, freely given, freely imputed to us by his sovereign grace. And that's the comfort of grace. And that's the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation by the grace of God. It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose, God's grace, which was given in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, I pray the Lord will give you an encouraging word reading over the book of Hosea. And remember, this is a love story between Christ and his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself without spot and without blemish. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy. Now, if you would like a copy of this message, I have it for you free. You can call me at 631-9053. Or you can write to me at Church 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.